Well, good morning to you. It's lovely to be in touch with you all. I must say it's rather strange to be preaching through a laptop. I've done this a few times in recent months during this pandemic, preaching over Zoom or over Facebook or on YouTube or in some other ways. It's quite a strange experience. We'd much rather be there in person with you all to share in fellowship together and to greet one another, as you've so warmly welcomed us in recent years. But of course, it's difficult with the pandemic right now, so I appreciate that this is a strange time, and so preaching through a laptop, although it's slightly strange, is the only thing we have to do during these days of social distancing and other things. So it is great to be in touch with you. My name is Matthew Vaughan. I'm married to Andrea. We've got four kids. We've got Sam, Ellie, Hannah, and Daniel. We've been working overseas cross-culturally since 2011. We work with Interserve. Andrea was an Interserve missionary in Cyprus when we met. I was working with the Interserve office in the UK at the time. So we met at an Interserve conference. We moved to Pakistan in 2011 and were involved in ministry there for about 8 years. I was working with a seminary and with a Christian media production company, so producing evangelistic films in the languages of Pakistan. And Andrew was working at the school which our kids were attending, and also we were obviously building relationships with those around us and trying to show the love of Jesus to people in Pakistan in every way we could. We loved doing that very much. We were very sad to leave in 2019, just last year, when our visa was refused. So we were forced to leave Pakistan, which is a real source of grief for all of us, including the kids. Three of our kids were actually born in Pakistan, so for them it was home. Since that time, we hope faithful to the call of God in our lives. We are still very committed to seeing his name glorified among the peoples of the world, including particularly Muslim people. So we followed an invitation to work in Malaysia after being in Pakistan. So I'm working as the Interserve communications director and also working in refugee ministry in my spare time, while Andrew works at Rockland, which is the school which our kids attend. It's a school which combines missionary children education with refugee kids as well. So our kids have lots of refugees in their school from Myanmar and Syria and other countries like that. So we really do enjoy that part of our lives. So the story of the last 3 years of our life and our ministry in Asia has really been one of uncertainty for our living situation. We've been without a long-term visa for at least 3 years now. Andrew's Canadian and I'm from the UK, and so we don't even have one country where we can go home, as it were. I'm allowed to be in Canada for 6 months, and Andrea can be in the UK for 6 months, but that is all the certainty we have in terms of our living situation. And during these days of pandemic, it's obviously even more uncertain for all of us, and we're all facing these challenges in how we face this uncertainty in the world these days. And so it's been rather odd when I was separated from Andrew and the kids for 10 days when I wasn't even able to come to Canada initially. So thank you for praying for that. I'm glad to be here, back with my family. But it's only a temporary fix, in a sense, that the long-term uncertainty is going on. And I think that's probably a feeling that we're all going through with this pandemic. In the space of a few short months, all the certainties and all the assurance we felt about the way our world is structured has really been shown to be quite false. Everything has been challenged. Borders are closed. Airlines have mostly shut down. Travel is all but impossible for the majority of the world's population. We've all been on lockdown for a long time, and even coming out of lockdown is almost more difficult than lockdown itself, as governments try to figure out how to restart our lives again. So we're all in a sort of strange hibernation, really, as we try and figure out how to come out of this situation. It's almost as if God has pressed the pause button on our lives, on the whole world, and made us, you know, go away to think about the future. And all these structures we rely on so much in our lives have been shown to be so hollow and so fragile. The stock market tanked in the first few weeks and lost billions and billions of dollars. The economy is on life support. Trade networks are paralyzed. schooling and education is more or less locked down as well. Even our military power is powerless. All the millions of dollars we spend on tanks and fighter jets and nuclear weapons and all the rest are completely helpless against a single small virus which has brought the whole world to a halt. And so the question for us as a family working in Malaysia is, I think, the same question that we're facing as a broader family of Christ. And that question is this: in an uncertain world, where do we find certainty? And I want to talk from this verse from the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews has been a particularly powerful book for me over the years. I've got a lot of richness and encouragement from this wonderful letter to the Hebrews. And Hebrews 13:14 is really a summary of where we've been as a family. I'll read from the English Standard Version. It says, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." In some ways, when I was planning this talk, I could have either have chosen that single verse or the whole of Hebrews 11, 12, and 13. But that choosing three chapters for a sermon seemed a bit excessive, so I hope you'll forgive me if I restrict it to that single verse. But these chapters from Hebrews 11, 12, and 13 are such a helpful reminder of what it means to live by faith in uncertain times and what it means to trust God in the midst of this uncertainty. In Hebrews 11, we read, it tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And it reminds us of the faith of people like Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Rahab, who didn't know what the future held, but who trusted God to lead them through that future all the same, trusting not in their circumstances, which were changing a lot, but trusting instead in the character of God, which never changes. Hebrews 12 tells us that we should look back to the great cloud of witnesses, that wonderful phrase at the start of chapter 12, as a reminder of what it means to trust God, and as an encouragement to keep going, to keep persevering, having faith in God and trusting that He will lead us through any circumstance that we might face. We are told in chapter 12 to strengthen our feeble arms and our weak knees. This is a strong criticism, which I've needed on time to time when I faced some difficulties in ministry in Pakistan, lots of uncertainty and violence and the threats to our lives. And it's a reminder that the kingdom of God cannot be shaken in that wonderful verse at the end of Hebrews 12. And so when we get to Hebrews 13 in this wonderful verse, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, this wonderful verse, we've been reminded that as believers we really have two kingdoms around us. We have the kingdom of this world, which we can see and we can touch and we can interact with. And we also have the kingdom of God, which is unseen in many ways, but no less real for that. And we live in this world, we interact with this world, we are called to serve and minister to the people in this world in the name of Jesus. But our ultimate destination as believers in Jesus is not this world. As Jesus puts it in the Gospel of John, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now that doesn't mean that we should turn our backs on the world and just cut ourselves off from the things around us and from the people around us. That's the kind of thing that people do in cults, isn't it? When they go and live on a mountain or go and live in some remote jungle or something like that and just separate themselves from the world because they consider the world to be evil and they consider only themselves to be good and pure. Jesus didn't do that. That wasn't his model at all. He ministered in the world. He involved himself in the lives of other people, people who needed him, in physical ways, through sickness, or in spiritual ways, people in need of love. And so the opportunity or the option to kind of cut ourselves off from reality and live in our own little bubble is not actually the model of Jesus Christ. So what I think this verse means, rather than cutting ourselves off, is that we should aim higher. We should set our sights higher. We should look beyond this temporary, fragile world that surrounds us, which is so changeable and so weak in many ways. And we should focus on the kingdom of God, which is eternal, which cannot be shaken. And so it's almost as if, as believers in Jesus, we have this kind of dual citizenship. Now, our children are actually dual citizens. They're both British and Canadian. And they were raised in Pakistan, so that sort of makes them tri-citizens. I'm not sure if that's even a phrase, but they have this dual citizenship and two passports, one for Britain and one for Canada. And as believers in Christ, although we may come from different nationalities, all of us, I think, have almost these two passports. We're almost dual citizens, both of earth and of heaven. And only one of those kingdoms will actually last forever. The kingdom of this world can be shaken. Currently, it's being profoundly shaken by COVID-19 and the circumstances that are changing so fast. But the kingdom of God will last forever. And in that verse, here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. It's such a powerful reminder of that. For us as a family, we have no lasting city on earth currently. We have no city in which we can all live for a long time reliably. We don't have a visa for anywhere, really. We've been living on 3-month tourist visas for the last year or so, since our long-term visa application has been in process. And so this can, and frankly it does, cause us some consternation. This makes us quite afraid sometimes. It makes me fearful for the future, about how our kids can go to school, how we can minister to those around us, how we can maintain our relationships with people around us who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, different refugee situations, for example, when we don't know if we can actually be with them in person. But it's a reminder that this eternal city does await us, not just us as the Vaughan family, but all of us as the kingdom and the people of God. We have this eternal security. I heard a sermon quite recently about a reminder from that parable and that Jesus taught about the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built his house on the rock. Now the world around us, the earthly world, in some ways has foundations of sand, and as we see these days, those foundations can be washed away very quickly and very easily. We can see just how uncertain those foundations are. But the kingdom of God is built on a rock. And the only way to find certainty in this world is to base our lives on the Lord and to base our city, as it were, on the rock of God, who never changes. As it says in the book of Isaiah, all flesh is grass and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, to be quite honest with you, as a church which supports us and prays for us, I want to be completely honest and say that in the last few years, I found it very difficult to live with all this uncertainty in our lives. I get worried about the kids and where they can go to school. They were very hurt when we had to leave Pakistan and said goodbye to their friends and their school and our church and the country which had been their home for their whole lives, really. It may seem strange because most people don't want to live in Pakistan, so why would we feel bad about leaving? But it really became home for us. We loved it very much. We had friendships there and church, and our ministry was there. And so it was difficult to leave. And I found myself thinking and almost complaining to God and saying, God, we have no certainty in this life. We have no certainty. And God has been reminding me again and again in his quiet way that actually we do have certainty. We have eternal certainty and security. Not in the world, not in our own passports or our own visas, but our security is in him, the unchanging God who loves us so faithfully. As it says in verse 8 of this chapter, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have plenty of certainty. It's just not where we might be looking for it. We may not find certainty in the stock market. We may not find certainty in our economic situation or in our political situation. But we can and do find certainty in the person of Jesus Christ, whose nature never changes. So this is the lesson I've been learning for the last few years. It's been a slow lesson in some ways, but I hope it's been a valuable one, and I want to share that with you today. That during these times of uncertainty, I want to challenge you to seek certainty in the Lord, not in the things around us. The wonderful thing about the kingdom of God is that it can never go into lockdown. The Holy Spirit is not affected by flight reductions. The Holy Spirit is not affected by quarantine. The Holy Spirit is not affected by any restriction which this pandemic might place on us. It is unaffected by that. God is still at work. God's kingdom is still being built. There are friends of ours we know in Malaysia who have come to faith in Jesus in the last few weeks through dreams and through visions. And we can tell you more about those personally if you would like to hear about those stories. But the kingdom of God is still on the move, and it is still growing, and it can never be stopped. And that's, for me anyway, a profoundly reassuring thought to have. And I hope it's reassuring for you as well. Although we face all this uncertainty and fearfulness about our situation, there is this unchanging guarantee of the love of Christ and of his faithfulness to us and his love for us. So I can't tell you what a relief it's been to me to stop striving, to stop being anxious, and to learn to rely instead on God's love. Our own situation was uncertain 3 months ago. It was uncertain 6 months ago. It's uncertain today. And to some degree, it will continue being uncertain for some time. But the fact is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so with that reassurance in mind, I want to encourage you to turn back to the world, not to turn away from it, not to hide away from it or to cut ourselves off, not to run away or hide away or separate ourselves from the people around us. We're called to be in this world, however confused and uncertain it is. That's the model of Jesus. That's what he tells us to do. So let's turn back to the world, although it's scary and uncertain, with the knowledge of the love and the unchanging faithfulness of God. In this confused and uncertain world, my prayer is that we would be noticed for our certainty and for our joy and for the wonderful love that we show to those around us, whether that's true for us in Toronto or in Malaysia or wherever else the Lord calls us to serve. I pray that would be the truth. And that would be an encouragement to you as we face these uncertain days. Thank you, and God bless you.